Yo, hello and welcome to Full Access Hoops. I'm your host, Corey Waldron. And with me today is Josh Toussaint, a Lakers writer, a Lakers fan. You can follow him at Twitter, at Josh Toussaint. Josh, how's it hanging?
Pretty good. How are you, Corey?
Not bad, not bad. Excited to talk about this young, prospering core of the Los Angeles Lakers. Looking back at last season, what were some of your thoughts and feelings as this young Lakers team surprised many as they went on to win 30-plus games?
I went into the season a little skeptical. That's the word.
That is the word.
I liked Lonzo Ball going in, but he really surprised me with how good he was on defense. His passing, we all pretty much knew how good it was going to be. His rebounding, too. And yeah, his shot struggled here and there, but he really surprised me because he's basically a consistent shot away from being an elite player. Julius Randle was great as a starter. He was 20-10 in the month of March, could switch everything on defense. Brandon Ingram showed significant growth from last year to this year. Josh Hart was a surprise 3-and-D. Kuzma took the internet by storm. They were really surprising. They just didn't stay healthy like a lot of the other West teams.
Yeah, they were second in pace too. So they definitely had that Showtime feel from just me watching. You know, they go up and down the court like crazy. Who stood out the most? I mean, obviously you mentioned Lonzo. You know, who was your favorite Laker to watch last year? Whether it was, you know, somebody who just simply was growing or whatnot, who caught your eye besides Lonzo?
Julius Randle was such a pleasant surprise in many ways because his last few years, he wasn't the most efficient player, didn't play very good defense. He was high usage. And then in like last April or May, he showed that significant weight loss. And I'm like, with the athletes, when they lose that much weight, they can have so much better conditioning, which has always been his weakness. And he was just such a terror on defense. I mean, he's not quite yet an all NBA caliber defender, but was able to switch 1 through 5. He defended more ISO possessions than Draymond Green and allowed fewer points per possession on ISOs than Draymond Green. So he showed a lot of growth. He was a wrecking ball inside. He's one of the, I think only 7 players in the entire league had a 25%+ usage rate, 60%+ true shooting percentage. And the other guys were MVP candidates like Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and then Julius Randle. So he was just so fun to watch. He averaged like 20-10 in the month of March and was able to pass the ball. Really fun.
Yeah. Obviously at the start of the season, there was the battle for power forward, right, between Kyle Kuzma, Julius Randle, and Larry Nance Jr., who was eventually traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're going to be talking about free agency more. Who do you think is more important to the Lakers' future, Kyle Kuzma or Julius Randle?
That's a really complicated question. I think Randle has more upside. I think Randle will probably have the better career, but Kyle Kuzma has 3 years left on his deal at $1 million per year, whereas Julius Randle's going to command a lot of money this summer.
Right.
So this is where the Lakers have to choose. Do I sign Randle for a lot of money? And I think they should, because I don't think you let that type of asset walk away. But and he could either be a part of the future or you could trade him later for a bigger fish. So I think that's really complicated. I think Randle will probably have the better career, but I think Kuzma is going to be very good. I think he has a lot to work on, especially on the defensive end, but I can't really give you a clear and cut yes and no answer.
Right. No, I 100%. That's a bad question on my part. Looking at, obviously they made a trade at the deadline, they got rid of Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. They brought in Isaiah Thomas. What were your thoughts on Isaiah Thomas in those short 17 games that he played in the Lakers uniform?
It was a really mixed bag. I want to see him healthy for a season. I don't think he was 100%. I mean, when that guy catches fire, he's one of the most fun players to watch in the entire league. But there were so many parts. He had such a high turnover rate. He was not very efficient with the ball. But again, they had so many injury issues later in the year. Lonzo was missing games. Ingram was missing games. He was really the only viable lead guard that they had. And I don't think that's quite the role for him. So if they are to somehow bring him back next year, I would like to see it as a six-man role, as a reduced role. And if he gets angry, upset with the role, then they could always trade him at midseason.
Right. So obviously last year, there's a ton of moments and plays that happen in any season with any team. What was your favorite like highlight moment, highlight play or game? What stuck out to you? What will you remember most in the play from last year?
The one that comes to mind right now was the Ingram game winner against Philadelphia.
10 seconds left. They're going to let him play. Lonzo in the corner. Lonzo drives. Ingram to win the game. Boom. Got it. 0.8 left. He takes the lead with that shot.
So basically, Lonzo drives the lane, and he does a great job at finding the open man, because the defense collapsed and Ingram's wide open. And it was just such a great mature play for two young guys that can't even drink alcohol yet.
Right. No, for sure. Obviously a lot's been talked about, you know, Brandon Ingram. How good could he be? What is his ceiling in your eyes? What do you think Brandon Ingram could become?
So I have a little history with him. I was a skeptic going into the draft. I wanted them to either trade down or draft Jaylen Brown or Dragan Bender. Now, obviously, I take Ingram over Bender now. Brown, I still think it's 50-50. Jaylen Brown showed a lot of promise this year. But I really thought Ingram would be closer to Nick Batum than Kevin Durant. And now, after this year, he still shot way too many mid-range jumpers for my liking, did not shoot a good percentage on them, and that really hurt his efficiency. He did not shoot many threes, so his jumpers I'm really skeptical on his jumper. He did a good job driving and kicking, especially towards the end. Before he got hurt, he was being very efficient and being very smart with the ball. Do I think he's the number one key player on the Lakers young core like most Laker fans do? Not necessarily. I still think he has maybe a lower end all-star potential, which is, again, very valuable. But I keep hoping he proves me wrong. He's been pretty impressive. But he's, again, I don't see that superstar upside, but I can see star upside.
Right. So one last question about looking back at last year. So obviously having Lonzo Ball comes with it, LaVar Ball. What were some of your thoughts as just, you know, following the Lakers? Was LaVar, do you think, you know, a nuisance outside? Do you think he caused any issues in the locker room? Or do you think he just, you know, just speaks off the court and it doesn't really have any effect on the team itself?
I can pretty much say with 95% certainty that LaVar Ball has no impact on the locker room, is not a distraction, because I was noticing towards the season, Lonzo just shrugged it off, didn't care. The players didn't seem to turn towards him. And Luke Walton did a very good job at keeping it pretty low key and just handling it. Julius Randle was on Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast not too long ago.
Great pod, great episode.
Yeah. And he was discussing how when all that happened, Lonzo just shrugged it off, didn't care. And he's like, if Lonzo doesn't care, why should we? So, and that was basically their mentality through the whole year. So I think the LaVar stuff is really just overblown by the media. And I don't think it's much of a factor at all.
Yeah, I think it may have early on, but definitely, yeah, you're right. Like during the second half of the season, I don't think it bothered Lonzo at all. You know, it probably bothered other people in the Lakers more than it bothered Lonzo, you know, early. And then, like you said, if Lonzo doesn't care, why should other guys care? So looking ahead to this free agency, this offseason, the Lakers have a ton of free agents, you know, Brooke Lopez, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Channing Frye, Zaire Thomas, Julius Randle. Who do you expect to be back in L.A. next year? Who do you think they'll just let go? What are your thoughts on the Lakers free agency right now?
I have a good feeling, like, if we're taking all of those guys you mentioned, who has the best chance of being back, I would say Brook Lopez, because he said in his exit interview, he was asked about possibly taking a pay cut if Stars come to LA. He said he would be down. Now, would that stand a few months later? I'm not sure, but I think he would. He's an LA native. He was born in North Hollywood. I think they either keep Randall or they trade him, sign and trade him. Isaiah Thomas, I'd be intrigued about him being back, but if LeBron comes, he and LeBron have that rocky history. I wonder if they'd put it in the past. But if he's on a 1-year veteran minimum just to prove himself here, I'd be okay with that. Caldwell Pope with Josh Hart and potentially getting Paul George, I'd see him as a backup option if they don't get George, but Josh Hart's pretty good. He shot almost 40% from three, was a good defender, and he's only getting better. Right. Channing Frye, I have no idea what's going to happen with him. He may be back just as bench filler, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
So, I mean, we've alluded to, you know, obviously there's the, I mean, it's always, I mean, you being, you know, around the Lakers and all that, you know, anytime there's a big marquee free agent, the Lakers are automatically tied to that player. So, of course, you know, LeBron James, Paul George, you know, even DeMarcus Cousins rumblings and stuff like that. What do you expect this free agency? Do you expect the Lakers to land one of these marquee players, or do you think they're going to have to attack some of the smaller guys, like retaining Julius Randle and attacking, you know, I don't know, some mid-level free agents? What are your expectations going into this free agency?
I expect them to fully go hard after LeBron and Paul George. I think Paul George will come if LeBron comes. And I think, and obviously Wojnarowski tweeted that they're going to meet up. But I fully expect them to, I think LeBron right now is the favorite to go to LA over all his other places. I hinted at this in my latest article, which you can find on my Twitter page, on my pinned tweet. And he is, you know, his son supposedly enrolled in a school here in LA. But so many factors can change. I fully expect them to try and trade Luol Deng in a draft pick to try and clear that cap space to keep Julius Randle and sign other players. So a lot can happen between now and then, but I fully expect them to get either LeBron or Paul George or possibly both. Maybe trade for Kawhi, but I think that's very, very unlikely.
Now, I'm asking for your opinion on this part. Who would you like to see most? I mean, would you rather them go after LeBron, or would you perhaps, as you just mentioned, rather trade for a Kawhi Leonard? Like, what do you think is the best route for the Lakers to take?
My ideal scenario is I would love to get Anthony Davis, but I just don't think after that playoff run, I don't think it's going to happen. But ideally, I would like to keep sign LeBron, sign Paul George, and trade Ingram, Deng, and maybe Kuzma for Kawhi. So you end up having, and probably some more filler in there, but I'd ideally like to have Lonzo Ball, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, LeBron James, and Julius Randle, and maybe have like Brook Lopez as a backup. Will that happen? I don't know, but that's what I would love to see.
Oh, man. I mean, if you're talking about small ball death lineups, that would have to be right up there. That would be a nasty death ball lineup for sure. So obviously the Lakers do have the 25th pick in the draft. Do you expect them to keep on to that pick, or do you expect them to try and attach that pick to maybe move somebody, you know, perhaps like you mentioned, a Luol Deng salary dump?
I fully expect them to at least try and trade that pick along with Luol Deng. Will they end up succeeding in an actual deal? I'm not sure. I know Chicago is a possible dumping space. I can't remember who reported it, but somebody reported that there are going to be teams with cap space that are rebuilding, and they'll take on one of these salaries just to get draft picks. Luol Deng reuniting in Chicago, retiring there, I think it would be a little sentimental for Bulls fans. And he's not Derrick Rose or Joakim Noah, but he still has a little connection there. But if they do keep, I'm not sure if they will end up trading Luol Deng. It totally depends on the other teams.
Right. I mean, if you trade Luol Deng, do you think they have to attach, you know, one of these young studs of an Ingram or a Kuzma? Or do you think they could get away with possibly just doing it with a draft pick?
I think they will try to do it with a draft pick. I'm not entirely sure that they would move one of their young pieces in Luol Deng just for like another draft pick or something like that, like a second round pick just to clear salary. Because I do think they are high on Ingram, they are high on Lonzo, and I actually do think they are high on Randall and Kuzma. So I'm not entirely sure. I just don't think that's much. I don't think that's much of a possibility.
Gotcha. Any final thoughts, Josh?
I'm just like many off seasons where Lakers are always in that free agency debate, but this year I think it's more for real than previous years. But even if they don't sign any of these big free agents and just roll back basically the same roster as last year, if they're healthy, I think they'll be a really solid team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I think, you know, bringing in Magic Johnson, obviously, and having this this new look Lakers, you know, front office, I definitely think it makes them more appealing to guys like Paul George and LeBron James. And I agree, if, you know, if they were to strike out and they say they get no one, it's not bad to run it back because you have so many young players anyways. And maybe you bring back, you know, an Isaiah Thomas on a 1-year deal and a Julius Randle, and you run it back and you just, you know, let these young guys develop further. So I agree. When you look at other, this is my last question before we, you know, get on out of here. When you look at other young cores like the Phoenix Suns, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Sixers, how confident are you in this, you know, this young core compared to those? Do you think this is the best young core? Obviously, you may have a little bit of bias, but is this the best young core right now in the NBA?
I think Philly, if Embiid is healthy and Simmons can get a semblance of a jump shot, I think those guys are without a doubt the best players of the young core we mentioned. But I think the Lakers have the deepest young core because you have five players in Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, Kyle Kuzma, and Josh Hart, who will all at least be solid players because they were already solid players last year. So we've already pretty much seen their floor. Now we just have to see their ceiling. I think Lonzo Ball is the best player of the Lakers young core. I don't think he'll ever be as good as Joel Embiid if he's healthy, or he may be as good as Ben Simmons in his worst case scenario. But I think Ben Simmons' ceiling is higher. Devin Booker is a little iffy. It also depends on whom the Suns draft.
Right.
Like if they get Ayton, I'm not as high on Ayton as most people. I love Doncic, but it doesn't seem like they're going to go with him. But I'm really confident in this Lakers young team. Do I see this core being a championship core? No, I do not. I don't see any of these guys being the best player on a championship team, but I think they could be great second best players on championship teams, or third best players, or fourth best players. And I think that's okay. That's a great option. And they could always get that other tier, that other stud in free agency or trade.
Yeah. I mean, especially cap wise, and you look at the books, you know, Lonzo's on the books till 2021, 2022. And even at his peak, you know, it's a qualifying offer, I should say, 2020 and 2021, he makes $11 million. Brandon Ingram makes $9 million that year. So even, you know, we're talking about 3 years down the road, and these guys are still all under contract on low deals, which obviously is a benefit anytime you're going to free agency.
Yeah. And we also forget these guys are so young, and we've seen so many guys. Like, if most guys reach their prime within that 27-year-old to 30-year-old span, these guys are so far away from that. So they still have so much to do. Julius Randle and Brandon Ingram have shown significant progress from year to year. We'll see what Hart, Kuzma, and Lonzo do. But if these guys keep progressing like the way I think they will, they're going to be a really good and really fun team. They just need to find that superstar to put them over the top.
Yeah, I agree. I'm right there with you. Showtime Lakers may be coming close, may be arriving sooner than we actually expect. But that's going to wrap it up for this recap podcast of the Los Angeles Lakers. Thank you, Josh, for hopping on.
Thank you, Ford, for having me.
Yeah, of course. Make sure to check Josh out on Twitter at Josh2Saint. You can follow me on Twitter at KWallHoops. Check us out on otgbasketball.com. There's an abundance of podcasts along with this podcast. And that's going to take it for this one. Peace out, knuckleheads.